Chapter number 11 and verse number 31. Verse number 31. And I'll let you remain seated. Preacher Stewart, when do you want me to stop? Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 31. And I'll let you remain seated as we just read this one verse here in chapter number 11. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let me read that again. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us tonight. Thank you for the presence of God in the service. I pray, Lord, now that you would help me, Lord, to bring to the pulpit what you gave me in my study today. As I read the Word of God today and studied and fellowship with you, and how that you touched my heart with this message today. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. I pray that you would give us what we need from the Word of God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, recently, and your adult classes may be teaching through Hebrews chapter number 11 on faith, or you may have in the past with the Crown College material, and just this last Sunday I taught on this the faith of Rahab in my Sunday school class, and as I studied this verse of scripture, it dawned on me, the question dawned on me, why did God put a harlot in the Hall of Fame? Why did God put a harlot in the Hall of Fame? Now there are two women that are named specifically in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, and both of them had a problem. The first one was Sarah, and she had a problem with doubting. And so it's surprising that God would put Sarah in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I was telling my wife today it would be an interesting study to find out why God put Sarah in the Hall of Faith, because she was a doubter. She laughed. When God told Abraham that she was going to have a child, she laughed. And then when the Lord asked her about it, she lied. But she still ended up in the hall of faith. And so it'd be an interesting study to find out why God put Sarah in the Hall of Faith, but he did. And then we come across another surprise when we get to verse number 31, and we find that God puts a harlot in the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith, here in Hebrews chapter number 11. And that question came to my heart and my mind. Why would God do that? Then I began to think about, what if this was the very first time I had ever read Hebrews chapter number 11? Maybe I'm a new Christian and I didn't know the stories, all the stories that are involved. I didn't know the circumstances that are involved with these stories. And I began to read the Bible. And I came across there, the first one that's mentioned in verse number 4 is Abel, and how that he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And I would say to myself, wow, that's commendable, that Abel, he offered the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that his mom and daddy taught him about. Then we come to Enoch in verse number 5. And Enoch was walking with God, and one day it got closer to God's house than Enoch's house. And God said, why don't you just come on home with me? And so there's old Enoch. He was a great man of faith. And I say to myself, yeah, Enoch, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. They're in the Hall of Faith. There's Abel that offered the right sacrifice and died for offering that blood sacrifice. Then there's Enoch that walked with God. Then we come to Noah. God tells Noah it's going to rain. Never had rain before. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God told him to build that ark. And he, by faith, he followed God. He believed God, although it had never rained before. And Noah built that ark, and sure enough, the rain came. And I say to myself, as a new Christian, never knowing anything about these stories, I say, yeah, there's Noah. There's a great man that believed God. Never had seen rain before. And sure enough, he believed God, built that ark. And to the saving of his house, and the rains actually came, and God saved Noah and his family through that flood. I say, yeah, old Noah belongs in the Hall of Faith. I remember when I was down in Whiteville, a man got saved. His name is Greg, and his wife's name's Donna, and that's Billy's daughter, Donna. And her husband, Greg, he was a motorcycle hippie. He was just a motorcycle hippie, worked in a junkyard, and he was meaner than a junkyard dog. I'm telling you, he was a rascal. And not long after I was there, he had an accident on his motorcycle. And he was only going about 35 miles an hour, he said. But the impact, when he hit that car, the impact severed his aorta. And otherwise, he was fine. He wasn't hurting anywhere. He just hit that car and went across the hood of that car. And of course, they had him laying down. But he was laying there and he was dying because he was bleeding internally. He had severed his aorta and he was dying, and they didn't even know why. They didn't even know he was dying. And they found out that he was losing blood. Well, to make a long story short, old Greg, through that accident, he got saved by the grace of God. He got saved by the grace of God. And just a while ago when we went down to Miss Pat's funeral, Brother Greg walked up to me and took me by the hand, and he said, "I'll never forget what you did for me, preacher. I'll never forget what you did for me." And I said, "Well, it wasn't me that did it for you. It was the Lord Jesus. He's the one that came into your heart and saved you and changed your life." But I remember right after he got saved, I got some materials together for a new convert, and I went to his house, and I was going to disciple him and get him to learn more about Jesus. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, we sat there around his table there, and I told him to open his Bible to John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And he said, "Preacher, what do the numbers mean? Here's a newborn babe in Christ." He didn't even know what the numbers meant. Well, I said, "Greg, the 3 stands for the chapter, and the 16 stands for the verse." Here's a man who's never been in church before in his life. He didn't know anything. He didn't even know what the numbers in the Bible meant. And we sit there, and I went through some things and some assurance of salvation with him. But I can just imagine Greg, maybe reading for the first time Hebrews chapter number 11. And he goes through Abel. He said, "Yeah, he belongs there." And he goes through Enoch. He said, "Yeah, he belongs there." And he comes to Noah. He said, "Yeah, old Noah belongs in the hall of fame, the hall of faith." He comes to Abraham. Said, "Oh, yeah, Abraham was a great man of God. He was called the friend of God. Yes, he belongs there." Come down to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Joseph, one of the greatest types of Christ in the Bible. We say, oh, yes, Joseph was a great man of faith. He belongs in the hall of faith. And you come on down to Moses and his parents, and how that his parents believed God and saw that Moses was a proper child and hid him 3 days, and then God let Pharaoh let his mama raise him and pay the bill. And then Moses rose up, and one day Moses was the only Israelite in Egypt that was not a slave, but he chose to suffer the affliction with God's people, made a choice to follow God, and God used him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. They came up against the Red Sea. God parted the waters for them. They walked across on dry ground. I'm telling you, Moses belongs in the hall of faith. Don't you agree? Moses belongs there in the hall of faith. Then we come to old Joshua. And of course, old Joshua, they come, the great leader, Joshua, the great leader. You know, the Bible said Moses died, but God, I think it was Brother Bob Garrett preached that message when Dr. Harold Seitler died. He preached the message, Moses died, but not God. And old Joshua, he stepped in when Moses died. Joshua stepped in, and the power of God came on Joshua, and Joshua was a great man of God. And then all of a sudden, just think about it now. If this is your first time ever reading it, you come across verse number 31. And the Bible says, "By faith the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Now we can go down through that whole list of people. We say, yeah, they belong in the hall of faith. But we come to that verse and we say, why would God put a harlot in the hall of faith? Why would God put a harlot there in the hall of faith? And I want to just give you some reasons that I believe God put this woman here in this hall of fame for us tonight. Now, she was a Canaanite woman. She was a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. And you remember Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the situation with Rahab. She is a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel. And she has no right as far as being a Jew or Israelite. She is a Gentile. But God saved her. God saved her. And when you read, you don't read just a few verses in the Gospels, and you come to find out that not only did God save her, and not only did God put her in the Hall of Fame, but God also let her be an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is in the kingly line, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when her name is mentioned there in those genealogies, there's nothing said about her being a harlot. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin? And so here's a woman, a Canaanite, a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel, and becoming an ancestress to Christ. Number one, I would like to say tonight, one of the reasons I think that God put Rahab the harlot in the hall of faith is because that God is no respecter of persons. Acts chapter number 10, verse 34. The Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I just sort of feel like that maybe the Lord would think that there'd be a bunch of Pharisees one of these days that would say, yeah, Noah belongs in the hall of faith, and Abraham belongs there, and Isaac belongs there, and Jacob belongs there, and Moses, and Noah, and Enoch, and Abel. Yeah, I believe they all belong there. I believe God said some old Pharisee's going to come along and say you have to be of a certain class of people in order to be in the hall of fame. And so what I'm going to do is right at the end of all these names that are mentioned, right at the end of the list, I'm going to put the spotlight on somebody that you wouldn't dream would ever be part of the Hall of Fame. And it's going to be Rahab the harlot. And I'm going to do that because I want to show those Pharisees that I am no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad that God is no respecter of persons? It doesn't matter what kind of family you come from. God will save you. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on. It doesn't matter if you've come from a religious family. God will still save you. It doesn't matter if you come from the awfulest sin, if you've committed the most awful and wicked sin that can be imagined by anyone. God can still save you because God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of person. That's one reason why I believe God put Rahab the harlot in Hebrews chapter number 11. Is because he is no respecter of person. God can save anyone. In Acts chapter number 11, verse number 9, you know that Peter, God was showing Peter that he was to go to the Gentiles. The gospel was to be preached to the Gentiles. And God let a sheet come down out of heaven with unclean beasts on that sheet that he was a Jew was not supposed to eat. And Peter said, Lord, that's unclean. And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, but the voice, verse number 9, he said, the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 17 said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? God is no respecter of persons. And Rahab the harlot got saved and she got put in the hall of fame because God wanted us to see that he is no respecter of persons. Secondly, I believe God put it there because he wanted to give me and you some hope. He wanted to give us some hope. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." In other words, God put Rahab the harlot right there in the hall of faith so that you and I could have some hope. Hey, if all that was in there was Enoch and Abraham and Moses and Noah and all those great people of faith, then there'd be some of us that would think that we wouldn't have any hope of getting saved. So God said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. Right in the middle of all of that, I'm going to put one that wasn't harlot. Somebody that you wouldn't think that God would be interested." You know, that's the way a lot of people think. It's okay for you to get saved. But you've lived such a wicked life. I tell you, you get saved, but we're gonna reserve a little spot over here, and you just be quiet and you just behave yourself and don't get in anybody's way. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. God saves a sinner, then God puts a spotlight on them as a trophy of his grace and said, "Look what my grace can do." In other words, God takes you from the bottom and he moves you to the top, just like he did Rahab the harlot. God wanted to give us hope. If he can save Rahab, he'll have no trouble saving you. He'll have no trouble saving me. 1 John 1:7 said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And if God's already saved the chiefest of sinners, he'll have no problem saving you. He has no problem saving me. I believe that's one reason why God put Rahab the harlot in the hall of fame. And then thirdly, I noticed as I was studying today that I believe God put Rahab the harlot here in the hall of faith because that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:27, the Bible says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Notice this, "that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." I believe God, right there at the end of those names he listed Rahab the harlot so that no flesh should glory in his presence. What he was saying is, all those other people, yeah, they're great people, but they don't have anything to glory in. They got saved the same way Rahab the harlot got saved. And you don't have anything to glory in over anybody else. I'm no better than anybody else, and you're no better than anybody else. We're all just sinners saved by the grace of God. I remember, and I don't see her here tonight, but Laura Hipps, I remember when she got saved and she came into church, and I don't know if I was doing the announcements that day or what, but she was sitting right back there where Brother Terry's sitting, or right on this side of the aisle. And I made the statement, I didn't mean anything by it. I mean, I didn't know that it was going to be a blessing to her because it's just normal language to me. It's just normal language to you. I just made the simple statement. I said, "It's good to have Sister Laura Hipps here today." And I don't know if y'all remember it, but I remember it. It was several weeks later. She stood up and testified with tears streaming down her face. She said, "Nobody's ever called me sister before." Hey, I'm telling you what. Somebody said Rahab the harlot don't belong in the hall of faith. God said she does belong. God says she does belong there. And I'm going to put her there for all the world to see. I'm going to shine the spotlight on her. There's Rahab the harlot. She's in the hall of fame. Well, she don't belong there. Yes, she does belong there. The blood of Jesus Christ said she belonged there. Thank God that no flesh should glory in His presence. I'm going to tell you something, and we say it all the time, but it is so true. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. But thank God I didn't get what I deserved. I got grace. I got mercy. I got washed in the blood of Jesus. I can remember as a little boy, we didn't have much when I was growing up. And we lived in a mill village. And some of you probably don't know what a mill village is, but we lived in a mill village. And we had a fireplace in the living room. And that fireplace wasn't much bigger than one of these little panels. Just a little fireplace there. And Daddy would buy coal. And we would burn coal in that little fireplace there like that. And we'd burn coal in there. And me and my brother and my two sisters, we would get in the living room around that fireplace and we'd stay warm. I can remember putting cardboard in my shoes to keep the water from getting to my feet. And I was one of those that got the free. I was on the free breakfast plan at school. I'd go to school early and they'd feed us breakfast because our family was poor. And then I got free lunch. And didn't have a whole lot, but I'm gonna tell you what, I got to thinking about that today as I was studying for this. You know, I don't know what those school teachers thought about me there in that school, Hollis Elementary School, in Greenville. I don't know what those teachers thought about me as they looked at that little boy that come into their classroom every morning, didn't have clothes like all the other little boys did. I don't know what she thought about me, but I'm going to tell you something. She didn't realize it. She didn't know it, but she had a little boy sitting in her classroom that had royalty in his blood. She had a little boy sitting in her classroom that one day is going to walk on streets of gold, that one day is going to live in a mansion. Hey, I'm glad God's no respecter of persons. God's no respecter of persons. No flesh is going to glory in His presence. Thank God. I believe that's why He put her there in the Hebrews chapter number 11. And then I believe he put it there because He wanted to show us that He has the power to change lives. He has the power to change lives. Did you know everybody in Jericho heard the same thing she did? They had heard about what God had done for the children of Israel. But she was the only one that believed. I believe she got saved before the spies ever got there. Because when they got there, she said, I've already heard. She said, I'm a great sinner, but I've heard that you've got a great God. I believe she got saved before the spies ever got there. And so God wanted to show us that He has the power to change lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that He didn't leave you the way He found you? Aren't you glad that He made a change when He saved you? He made a change in your life. Aren't you glad that God has power to change lives? Here's a harlot. Now here's a harlot. And no longer is she a harlot. No longer is she a harlot. God changed her life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But notice this, it says, And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, in Joshua chapter number 2 and verse number 6, we find out something about this woman. She begins to work with flax. And in Joshua chapter 2, verse 6 says, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. Now, working with flax was associated with honorable women, okay? So here's a woman that's a harlot. She's known to be a harlot. She's got her house on the wall. And she is known to be that type of a person. But God saves her. God changes her life. And now, instead of working on the street corner, now she's working at the spinning wheel. And she's spinning flax. You say, Brother Ben, how do you know that that's associated with honorable women? Well, over in Proverbs chapter 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman, it describes the virtuous woman. It says in verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She stopped working the streets and started working the spinning wheel. She went from being a call girl to a converted girl. She went from being a converted girl to a choir girl, singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I believe God put Rahab the harlot in the hall of faith to show us that God has power to change lives. And we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen the power of God and how he has changed lives, how he can change lives. And then the last one tonight, I believe the reason why God put Rahab, the harlot, in the hall of faith is this, that God wanted to put the spotlight on a trophy of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. One of these days when we get to heaven, I believe God is going to put every one of us that's been saved by his grace. Everybody in here that's saved has got a different story. Everybody in here has got a different past. Everybody in here has got a different background. Everybody in here was saved by grace through faith, but the circumstances of you getting saved and the things that happened in your life when you got saved, it's all different forever for every one of us. It's all different for every one of us. I mean, there's some people that got saved up a tree like Zacchaeus, and there's some of you got saved at the house. There's some of you got saved down here in the altar. There's some of you got saved on the job. There's some of you had a wicked life in your past. There's some of you that you come from a Christian family, but you realize one day you were lost and you got under Holy Ghost conviction and you got saved by the grace of God. There's all different kind of circumstances. Some of you were on drugs. Some of you had a problem with the bottle. Some of you had a problem with the pill bottle. I mean, just all different kind of circumstances. But every child of God, all down through the ages of time, that's been saved by the grace of God, one of these days, he's going to do us like he did Rahab. You see, there might be some people that wouldn't be proud of Rahab. There might be some churches that wouldn't want Rahab's name on their church roll. But there was one that was proud of Rahab, and that was her heavenly father. God, her heavenly father, was proud of Rahab. He was so proud of Rahab that he wanted to stick her right in there in the Hebrews chapter number 11, right in there with the names of all those great patriarchs. Put her right there, right in the middle of all of them. There's her name, Rahab. He wasn't ashamed of her. And one of these days, God's gonna put us on display. And I don't know how long, you know, we're going to be there for eternity, so, you know, time's not going to matter. You know, here, we're going to get out at a certain time, but when we get to heaven, we're not going to be worried about time. Time will be no more. And throughout all ages, I believe God's going to let us, he's going to let us see the trophies of his grace as they line the streets of gold and tell the story. Like old Paul, every time you talk to Paul, he wanted to tell you how he got saved. And I believe one of these days, those stories are going to ring out through heaven. The stories of how the grace of God reached down and lifted us up and saved us by His marvelous grace. Miss Rahab, take your seat right here in verse 31. Somebody might say, you need to sit over there in the corner and be quiet. But God said, no, right here is you a seat, right here in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Preacher Stewart, you come, and I'm through tonight. I trust that that's been a blessing to you, that you can rejoice in the grace of God and the goodness of God's grace, and rejoice that God was proud of Rahab. He's certainly proud of you. God bless you.
That's good preaching. Amen. I'm glad God saved her. God saved me. God saved you the same way. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. And we're going to give an invitation. I'm going to do this every time somebody preaches. Might be in somebody's heart God particularly touched in that particular message. And God's speaking to your heart about something. You need to come pray for somebody. You need to come. And maybe somebody you said, well, there's no hope for. God said there is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so you just obey God. Do what God says. What we sing, Brother Tim, you go ahead and lead us in the congregational song of invitation. If you need to come and bow and pray for somebody, you need to come and thank God that He saved you from whatever He saved you out of. You just, whatever it is you need to come for, you obey God. Do what God says. God will help you.
There is a fountain filled with blood grown from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
While these are praying, you need to come. You come. Sing, brother.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Sins away.
That's what God does.
And there may I, no vile as He, wash all my sins away.